Recent news reports show that Europe is preparing for greater military independence from the United States, raising the possibility of a significant shift in NATO's structure. Bible prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and Revelation 17 describes a latter-day European confederacy aligned with a northern power identified with Russia, while Britain and the United States stand apart. These geopolitical developments represent steps toward the prophetic arrangement that Scripture outlines. Welcome to another Bible in the News. For more than 75 years, European security has rested upon one fundamental assumption: that the United States would stand behind it militarily. NATO has been the central pillar of that arrangement. An American military power has underwritten peace in Western Europe since the end of the Second World War. Yet that assumption is right now being openly questioned. President Trump has made it clear America will not prop up Europe indefinitely. In one report by The Guardian from the 9th of February 2026, entitled Munich Security Conference, Europe Prepares for Life Without US Backing, it was reported that, quote, the message from Munich, it was clear. Europe must assume America may no longer be its ultimate security guarantor, end quote. Similarly, in another February 2026 article from the BBC News entitled Europe Must Prepare to Defend Itself Without the US, leaders warn, it was stated that, quote, European leaders are increasingly concerned that the US security guarantee can no longer be taken for granted, end quote. The same report noted that there is now, quote, serious discussion in Brussels about developing a fully autonomous European defence capability, end quote. On the 10th of February, the BBC ran another report entitled, quote, Macron urges Europe to start acting like world power, end quote. It was reported the French president had said, quote, are we ready to become a power? This is the question in the field of economy and finance, in defence and security, and in our democratic systems, end quote. And in another article published by Politico under the title, quote, EU Defence Chief, Europe Must Build Force to Replace US Troops, end quote, EU Defence Commissioner Andreas Kybilis was quoted as saying, quote, Europe must be ready to take full responsibility for its own defence if the US reduces its presence, end quote. Now, taken altogether, these reports suggest that indeed Europe is contemplating a future in which America's military dominance on the continent is no longer assumed. Whether this shift develops slowly or rapidly, the direction of travel is clear. Europe is preparing for greater strategic independence. It is focused on creating its own defence force. And for the Bible student, such developments are not merely political, they are potentially prophetic. The prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39 describes a confederacy of nations that invade Israel in the time period the Bible calls the latter days. The leader of this confederacy is described as Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince, or the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. This invasion takes place after Israel has been regathered to the land, says the Bible, and the people of Israel are dwelling in relative security. The nations listed are listed by their ancient names and are entitled Magog, Meshech, Tubal, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, and Togarma. And they all fall under the rulership of this Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Now, the Bible student can identify these names with peoples north and east of Israel, particularly in the regions of Russia and Europe. But how are some of these identifications made? Well, one of the key historical witnesses in this discussion is Flavius Josephus, who writes about the peoples of Magog. Josephus was a first century Jewish historian born in AD 37, who wrote extensively about Jewish history and the ancient world. His work, The Antiquities of the Jews, sought to explain Jewish history to a Greco-Roman audience. As someone living much closer to the biblical era and very familiar with ancient traditions and history, his identifications are significant for historical geography. Now, Josephus wrote, quote, Magog founded those that from him were called Magogites, or named Magogites, but who are by the Greeks called Scythians, end quote. The Scythians were a powerful group of people who inhabited the vast territories north of the Black Sea. Classical writers such as Herodotus describe Scythia as stretching from the Danube River in Eastern Europe across to the Don River and beyond. In other words, their territory covered much of what we now recognize as Eastern Europe and Southern Russia. If Josephus is correct, then Magog corresponds to the ancient Scythian world, and that places Magog squarely in the region of Eastern Europe and Southwestern Europe, the territory of modern-day Ukraine being at the heart of it. Ezekiel also describes Gog as a chief prince, or as the Hebrew is, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Now, the identification of Rosh has long been associated with the Rus, with its historical roots in Russia. Historical records from the 9th and 10th centuries refer to a people called the Rus or the Rus, who operated in the regions of modern Russia and Ukraine. Byzantine and Arab writers mention them by name. Over time, the name Rus or Rus developed into Russia or Russia. Now, while some linguistic debates still exists, the historical continuity of the name is notable. Meshech and Tubal are generally identified with ancient peoples living in the regions south of Russia, around the Caucasus. Classical sources refer to tribes such as the Moskai and the Tiberani in these areas. Over time, migrants northward contributed to the population of the Russian lands. Even the name Moscow has often been linked historically with Meshech. Thus, the core leadership of the Ezekiel 38 Confederacy, Gog of Magog, the Prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, aligns geographically with the territories of Russia and its surrounding regions. However, the Confederacy in Ezekiel 38 does not consist only of Eastern peoples. Amongst others, it also includes a people called Gomer and all his bands. And again, we wheel out Josephus to help us identify this. Josephus identifies Gomer with the people he calls the Western Galatians. Classical writers describe how the Galatian people migrated into Western Europe. Over time, these groups became associated with the regions that now include France and parts of Germany. Standard historical references have connected Gomer with the early Celtic and European branches of these peoples. In other words, Gomer represents Western Europe. When Ezekiel lists both Magog, Eastern Europe and Southern Russia, and Gomer, Western Europe, the implication is that Europe, broadly speaking, forms part of the Latter-day Confederacy under the Russian leaders. Europe is not depicted as resisting Gog. They are led by him and are within the Northern Military Alliance when it invades Israel, according to Bible prophecy. Now, we want to throw in another reference here as well for you to ponder. because the book of Revelation adds another important piece to the picture. In Revelation 17, of this great time of the end, we read of 10 kings who, quote, have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, Revelation is symbolic, but it has been long understood that the beast of Revelation represents a revived Roman or European political system. The 10 kings are European powers who unite and consolidate authority. The striking detail is that they give their power. The image is not necessarily one of violent conquest, but of political alignment and consolidation. A unified European bloc operating with one mind is entirely consistent with the structure described in Ezekiel 38. Now, if Europe becomes more strategically independent and internally cohesive, the framework for such unity becomes easier to envisage. The prophecy indicates that these European powers will become united and under the control of the Russian authority in the latter days. There's another set of powers in Ezekiel 38, because at verse 13, it mentions the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof. These powers do not join Gog's invasion. Instead, we read that they question it. Art thou come to take a spoil? They say to the invader. And as we've done many times here in the Bible and the news, this Tarshish bloc can be identified with the maritime trading power of Britain and her young lions, her political offspring nations, including the United States. The implication is that these Anglo-maritime powers stand apart from the Russian-European Gogian Confederacy. They do not participate in the invasion of Israel, but neither do they manage to prevent it. If Europe ultimately aligns under a northern Russian power, then Britain and America must, in some way, stand outside of that arrangement. Precisely how such a separation occurs is not specified in prophecy, but NATO has to change for the prophecy to be fulfilled. Scripture describes the final arrangement, not the diplomatic or military pathway towards it precisely. However, if the United States reduces its military footprint in Europe, as it's saying it will, and if Europe moves towards an independent defense structure, if Russia continues to raise itself militarily, then the structural separation that prophecy requires becomes more conceivable of the European powers moving more towards Russia. They're not doing that right now, but it can be, it's conceivable that that could happen, than as they currently are, which is where they're weighted more towards America. So we submit that it seems the scene is being set for the Russian Gog to enter the world scene, to dominate Europe and take up his destiny as the head of the enemies of Israel. Now, it would be wrong of us to claim that every single political development and news story equals a direct prophetic fulfillment. But Bible prophecy should not be forced onto the headlines. It should also be noted, though, that the headlines that we have right now are describing a particular end configuration. So let's summarize. Israel will be restored to their land, it tells us. This has happened 1948 onwards. It tells us that a northern power from Russia will lead a confederacy, that Europe will be included in that confederacy, that Anglo-maritime powers will be standing apart from that, that all nations of that invading force will ultimately be gathered against Jerusalem and the people of Israel. And the prophecies go on to explain that there will be divine intervention through the return of Christ, who will come with his saints and save his people of Israel and re-establish God's kingdom on the earth. Now, as I've said, Israel has been regathered. Europe is reconsidering its military architecture. NATO does have cracks appearing in it. America is stepping back from the fray. Russia remains the dominant military force to Europe's east. America, again, is publicly debating the extent of its European commitment. Now, we do not know the precise sequence of future events, but the direction of travel is worthy of attention. Bible prophecy is happening before our eyes, slowly but surely. The post-war order that shaped the modern West is not guaranteed to endure indefinitely. Alliances are shifting. Power balances are changing. Nations are reassessing their priorities. The Bible asserts that in the latter days, the Northern Confederacy will move against Israel and that God will intervene decisively when Jesus returns. If Europe is indeed part of that confederacy, as Ezekiel 38 and Revelation 17 suggest, then changes in European military identity are not political curiosities. They are steps that we are witnessing, gradual or otherwise, toward the arrangement Scripture describes and the restoration of God's kingdom on the earth, a sure sign of the times. The prophet has declared God's words when he said in Ezekiel 38, verse 23, "Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord." History is moving toward that moment, and the wise will be watching. This has been Matt Davies joining you. Join us again next week as we watch the news to see Bible prophecy coming true before our eyes.